Dr. Jeffrey Halstead has been Canandaigua's hometown dentist for more than 35 years, offering routine dental care as well as cosmetic dentistry, implants, and dentures by their highly trained and experienced staff. Visit them online at canandaiguadentistry.com or find them on Facebook and Instagram.
That hurt. I'm not going to lie.
That sounded loud.
That was painful.
So you're grabbing the mic on-off thing.
Yeah, and that's Nick Felice, by the way, and the other voice of this podcast that you're hearing as I make sure I still have a pulse. But Nick, yeah, that hurt. I'm not going to lie to you. That hurt.
Yeah, you'll survive. I mean, this isn't your first show. This isn't your first rodeo, so... You'll be all right. You'll fight through it, unlike a lot of these quarterbacks in the NFL.
Ooh.
But those are some serious injuries. This is just a shock we're talking about here.
Yeah. We have to talk about that. Phillies Eagles.
Both suck.
The Eagles and the 49ers got a bit chippy, mm-hmm. You know. We have that to touch on. But we're actually starting college today.
Thank you.
We're going here for a change because there's a lot more to talk about there than the NFL for a change.
Yes.
So we'll start there. But first, I think another one of our sponsors, in addition to Dr. Jeffrey Halstead, also want to thank Cicino's Pizzeria and Restaurant. You can visit Cicino's Pizzeria and Restaurant at their original Waterloo location or their all-new renovated location in Geneva, a fan favorite of one Nick Felice. You can dine in, take out, delivery, catering, and banquets. Order online at Cicino's.com. Live, laugh, and eat well. It's the Italian way. So, Nick, Buffalo chicken pizza connoisseur that you are.
Yes.
Did you get Cicino's at all in the past couple weeks since we last talked about it? Or no? Yay, nay?
I think so.
Attaboy.
Yeah. It was a couple weeks ago.
There you go.
We had takeout. Time flies by, so it's probably a lot longer than that. But
yeah.
It was recent.
It's good.
It was good, as always.
They don't miss.
They don't.
So, yeah, college football up first. Let's start with the elephant in the room.
Did the committee get it right?
And my answer to that is no. Be really intrigued to hear your thoughts on it. But, it's weird. I actually anticipated them not having Alabama in after the way everything played out Saturday. I legitimately thought we were going to have Michigan, we're going to have Washington, Florida State, in all honesty, Georgia. I had a hard time believing that the committee was going to drop the number one that had been number one all season, or all but what, 1 week when they swapped around, and drop them completely out of the top four. Had a really hard time believing that. And
out of the top five.
Yeah. And they did it. And... You know, I think maybe we'll start with maybe that. I think, well, there's a lot of different places to go with it. I mean, really there are. And I guess really we'll start here. You know, like I said, I was completely surprised Sunday at noon when, or 12:15, when the announcement was made. I think a lot of people were shocked. I think there's no other way for that initial reaction to be nothing but shock.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't shocked, but they got it wrong.
Yeah.
There's two differences there. I think they got it wrong, but I'm not shocked because it's Alabama, it's the SEC, and they make the committee a lot of money.
Right.
And so I'm not shocked that this happened, but I'm very disappointed that this is how it came about. You can put Texas in there. You could put Alabama in there because they got a more quality win. I would not have been that shocked if they put Alabama in and not Texas. But you got to put an undefeated team that won a Power 5 conference. Yeah. That's the number one thing. Like, Washington and Michigan shouldn't have a pass, especially Michigan. Washington beat some good teams this year. Michigan beat Ohio State, and that was it. in my opinion. If they get an easy pass into the Final Four, why doesn't Florida State get this easy pass? This is ridiculous now that they think this ACC is. I mean, I'll say the ACC is definitely not one of the better ones, but to think they're that much worse than the Pac-12 that's dead now, or the Big Ten that's always overrated, is absolutely insane. I mean, especially the Big Ten. I mean, I'm like Michigan. Gotta watch them lose again. I mean, how many times we gotta watch Michigan lose if they're going off past seasons? You know, seems like a lot of time they go off past seasons, which is ridiculous. It should be about this season. And Florida State fought through adversity without their quarterback. They showed that they. I mean, doesn't defense matter?
Right.
It doesn't. Yeah. Like other part, it's not just about the quarterback. And they could have gave. They could have gave Michigan a game. Absolutely, it's ridiculous. So I'm saddened for Florida State. And what happened to Florida State? I thought they were a blue blood. You know, they're supposed to be one of the big names in college football. This isn't like we're talking about Syracuse here. And it's crazy. Syracuse could have this great season, undefeated. They wouldn't even got in.
Well, that brings up that element of it, right? Is what we're now at least have to take as the perception and the future of this. Now, it's different, right? And this is the final one of where it's just four. And now next year we have 12. And it really opens up a can of worms because I don't want to do the whole entire, like, next year element of it right now. But, you know, it's going to be funny how we're going to be dissecting teams with probably a record of 9-3. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, quote-unquote, who had the best loss, more than likely, because more likely the committee will not just recognize, say, like a 11-1 or a 12-0 / 13-0, obviously, depending upon what happens with the conference title game, right? I'll just take the obvious play in the room, like a Boise State, where we know it's usually just good year in, year out anyway, and it's which rare of them, or the very obvious, and I don't mean to shot them, they've had a very good year this year, but you cannot tell me that the 10-2 or 9-3 Ole Miss Rebels in this situation would have been better type deal. But I think it's still going to play a little bit next year in this space at the bubble because you're telling me that the games just don't matter, you know. And that's where, you know, I kind of chuckled, you know. I'm sitting there Sunday afternoon at that point. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm a Booger McFarland defender now. And I've been a Booger fan anyway for a while, but he was the only one in that room at ESPN to just be like, no, this is crap. You know, and I get it. You have to do the whole entire, like, well, they don't have Jordan Travis and whatever. Okay, but they'll have Tate Rodmaker back. Okay? And like you said, me and tell me defense doesn't matter anymore? That's BS. We're back into a time, at least perceived at the moment, that defense is ruling football, especially at the pro level, but it's trickled into college again, where this year there's a lot more unders being hit than overs, if you look at from the betting side. And thirdly, or well, I guess kind of secondarily here, but really I guess is my third bullet point on this. Did they follow the criteria? I guess, but where was that for Michigan then? You brought up Michigan. Jim Harbaugh didn't coach half their season.
Yeah.
Okay? And, like, we can say what you want about certain games, how they were blowing doors off, and that's fine, because the Big Ten East this year just wasn't amazing. I'm fine with that. But the fact of the matter is, at the beginning of the year when he wasn't there, like, they were admittedly struggling, and a lot of people didn't realize that because it's like they won 24-0, they won 28-0. They didn't see, like, going into halftime, these games were 6-0 and 9-0, you know. And I'm sorry, if you're going to play with Florida State and not with Michigan, I mean, it's whatever. And it's interesting, right? You bring up the blue blood element of it. And, you know, I kind of laugh at the face of a lot of blue bloods at this point or whatever because a lot of them, especially in college football, not more or less basketball, it's a little bit different there. But football especially, you know, some of these classic blue bloods just haven't done anything in years. Michigan's one of them.
Texas.
Texas, well, Texas is at least has a national title this millennia, but I do agree in the grand scheme of it, right? Like
Michigan's definitely one.
Like Michigan hasn't done a ton in a while.
Notre Dame,
you know, right? But Notre Dame is a perfect example, right? Penn State, like your blue bloods of recent memory have been Alabama, which whatever. But there was a time when they were kind of on that teeter point as well, where they were possibly going to fall out of it. So it really is interesting to kind of see, you know, frankly, the committee kind of just show their true colors that we kind of figured they had anyway all along, but just never pulled the trigger on it, you know?
Jay Bill has made a great point, I saw. Mm-hmm. He says, so you're saying Alabama's better than Florida State, but you're going to say Florida State's better than Georgia?
Right.
Who is just the number one team in the country?
Yeah.
Like, so they're better than Georgia, but they're not better than Alabama.
No. No, well, and that's the other thing, too, with this, right? It's like Alabama this year has gotten better as the year has gone on. I'm not going to deny that. But here's the facts. They struggled with South Florida. They literally went to the final possession with Auburn, who, by the way, the week before got their doors blown off by New Mexico State. And that's not a shot at New Mexico State. They runners up in the CUSA in 10-3 this year, you know?
Okay, not a shot.
But the fact of the matter is, you're Auburn, you should probably beat New Mexico State no matter what. But, again, Hail Mary to beat Auburn. You only beat Arkansas, who, oh, by the way, was probably going to fire Sam Pittman at one point this year. A 3-9 Arkansas you only beat by 3? Like, come on. Like, and that's the thing with this. It's like, what are we doing?
They had to put an SEC team in there. And they didn't want to put Alabama in and not put Texas in, and they didn't want to put Georgia in and not put Alabama in, right, who just beat them the day before. That's the whole thing. They wanted to put an SEC team in there, and they felt like we got to take Florida State out.
And they only had themselves to blame in all this, right? They kept the top 10 of the standings stagnant for the past month. Now, they've only been out for 6-7 weeks anyway, but Texas and Alabama have been 7-8 the whole time, you know?
Yeah, why not move them
up? It's very apparent that the committee was probably banking on Oregon to beat Washington.
Yep.
Well, it's pretty apparent, excuse me, Washington was just better than Oregon all year, you know?
9.5?
Right.
What was the spread?
9.5, and they won outright. And they weren't, I mean, we'll get into it, I guess, when we recap my picks a little bit, but they were the only conference winners to do that this week.
You got one pick this week.
No. I got five total. There are lines for FCS, Nick, but we'll get to that. Not to get completely off the rails here. But, you know, the way the committee is at this point, I don't know. And I think it only further proves, and this is a key part in here that I think a lot of people kind of forget. I mean, I forget about it from time to time myself, and I consider myself, especially on the college football side, I think a big college sports guy. The NCAA has nothing to do with the college football playoff committee. No. Nothing. None. Zilch. Nada. And it puts the college sport collective, as I'll just call it in this case, it just puts it at the crossroads we knew that they were at. Now you got the president of the NCAA doing the whole entire dance this week of like, well, we're thinking about maybe doing, you know, another subdivision of 100 teams or the top 100 teams, and then you have another tier of, like, whatever. And I'm like, I don't know, you know. And I'm with people, like, probably 362 teams, a little bit much on the college basketball side of things. But they have it more right than football does, in my opinion. Now, do I think a team like, I'll go Villanova. They're in the FCS playoff. They play this week in the quarterfinals, you know. Do I think they have a chance even going up against, like, Temple most years as it stands right now? Probably not. I don't think it's very fair to them, but I also don't think it's fair to Temple to just kind of throw them in that bucket then at that point, because, like, clearly in the eyes of Charlie Baker, they doesn't see Temple to even be the same as Syracuse.
Yeah.
You know, where at least in the college basketball scope you get to it, you know, every team in principle is on the same level. You have the same opportunity to get to the field of 68 in March. Yeah. You know, football, it just isn't that way.
No.
So you're at more of a crossroads than ever at this point. I don't know what, you know, we're going to be looking like here I mean, even like in a month when we're through with bowl season, we're through with the playoff, who knows what's going
to
happen.
So this new playoff, is it like the playoff, say it was this year, is it supposed to start next weekend? Is that what their prime goal is? Right when bowl start?
Yeah, I would say yeah. I mean, that's the way it's kind of – it's the way it's more or less done currently at the FCS level. I think there's like – it's tough because there is the buys for the higher seeds, which we'll have anyway in the field in the playoff round of 12. I just think it unfortunately puts a lot of these – because you have to remember, a lot of the bowl games are going to be involved in the playoff. The perceived higher bowls. Now, the Rose Bowl, the New Year's Six, right? Those will still be reserved for like the semifinal and everything like that. But like, if you're the probably not the best one given how it kind of stands right now, but like the Citrus Bowl was kind of like one of those quote unquote second tier bowls.
Yeah, like the Gator Bowl.
Yeah, that like you aren't New Year's Six, but you're like the day before where you still have a lot of good competition and stuff. Like now you're forced to probably have your name thrown in like next weekend. I don't know.
They're gonna have to move the bowls up.
I don't know how it's gonna fully work.
They're not gonna use these bowls that are like next weekend as a playoff game.
Right. Correct. So I don't know. I think maybe it's just gonna be a kind of deal
also television.
Right. I think it's gonna be a deal where it's kind of maybe they don't do the bowl thing playoff wise where it's like that. I don't know. I don't think they're gonna do neutral. I think it's gonna be higher seeds to host like that first round type deal.
Oh really? But
I would imagine. I mean that's the way it is in FCS anyway. So I don't know.
I wonder what day they're gonna. You can't put four games on at once.
No, you could, but you can stagger it pretty four on well. One day. I mean,
probably have two on at a time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you'd have to. I don't see a way.
They're all gonna be on Saturday, I would assume.
Right. So I don't know. All right, let's transition over another big college football talking point, especially locally. Fran Brown, introductory press conference on Monday. I'm more reserved my talking point for when you get done, Nick. But what were your kind of thoughts when you kind of just heard him talk about how it's like, you know, I don't – it's one of the first times in a while I've heard a coach talk about saying he doesn't want to – he's not planning on leaving, and it felt like he actually meant it.
Yeah.
In a way.
He's got some good hires.
Yeah.
Did he get the Colorado guy right?
Yep.
That was a huge hire. That's like Deion's big recruitment guy too. So, you know, if he knows people, you get him to come to Syracuse. It's just only the start. If they can get that program just – I know Dino, what did he get him, 10 win season at one time?
Yeah. But
they need to be a consistent
right
9, 10 win season team to be a legit program. And I don't know. I think he talks good, but, you know, a lot of work that has to be done. And – according to the committee, it's not a very tough conference. So I think there's a lot of improvements that can be made right away. So they just got to play better against those weaker teams. I know Boston College made a bowl, but you got to play better at Boston College. And I guess Pittsburgh's terrible, but but they got to be more relevant.
It's the same point, though.
Yeah.
Right. But that's the key thing, and that's what I – literally when we were sitting here last week, that's why I brought up is the relevancy aspect of it. And you're already seeing it. You know, we got a lot, you know, we'll pull back the curtain, as I say, with how we usually do this, right? We jokingly say about how we always end up breaking some sort of baseball news. So, like, we're monitoring that right now. But, like, A&M has a ton of guys in the portal right now that Elijah Robinson was the one who recruited them. And, no, Syracuse go get all these kids from A&M. No, I'm not dumb. Like, come on. But there's a few, like there's one in particular, a DN that they got, who was a captain this year, just entered the portal today, but he's from Camden, New Jersey, where Fran Brown and Elijah Robinson are from. And Syracuse was in on him, obviously not at the top because can't afford him, you know. But look, the fact of the matter is, I think 10 is probably a little bit on the high mark still for Syracuse in all honesty. But it's at 8 and 9 range. That's where you want to be. That's what I'm talking about with irrelevancy where, you know, you're fighting for the 10th or 11th or 12th spot in that playoff every now and then.
That's going to help them a lot,
right,
too.
And you bring up good points, right, especially in the ACC. Well, at least as it stands right now in the ACC, right? You know, You're obviously, we know the tier with Boston College. Obviously Pitt. But Wake Forest is usually one that Syracuse is reasonably tiered toward as well. I'd put Louisville in there most years. I mean, I still probably put them in there. And with the additions of, like, SMU, Cal, and Stanford, I'd probably put them in that tier as well. Where
are they coming next year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Syracuse goes to Cal next year. So.
good rivalry.
Right, right. Nothing like a bunch of hippies and smart people going at it. But he said all the right things at the press conference, and he brought up a lot of good points that I don't think maybe a lot of the general public maybe realized. Obviously, basketball, you saw it a little bit more often. You still see it a lot often. I mean, Carmelo usually comes in a dome once or twice a year no matter what. And it's tough for certain guys, too, because you don't know where you're fully living and stuff like that. And I get it. There's still a lot of people locally that played for Syracuse that still go to games every now and then and stuff like that. I mentioned, like, Mello for basketball. But Diefendorf is usually always there in some capacity now, even though he's off the coaching staff portion of things. But he's usually always there. You know, there's a lot of guys, like I mentioned locally, Lawrence Moten's usually at least at a couple games, D.C., Derek Coleman. But football, you rarely see that, especially in the Dino Babers era. And that's something that Fran Brown brought up during his pressers, like, hey, you know, oh, I joked about how, like, I don't want your money, I want your presence, even though, you know, he went back to about the money. But he just wants the presence of these alumni there. And that's big. You know, you look at a lot of these good programs and –
alumni show up. Yeah.
Alumni show up. But the alumni also at the pro level have a lot of pride in the fact that they went to a school. I mean, you'll get a lot of big matchups. You know, say championship weekend, especially with Alabama, Georgia. Washington, the Commanders had a whole TikTok out about how it's like, all right, who you have? Because they have a lot of people who went to Georgia and Alabama on the roster. And it's just
Monday Night Football had one from each four teams that are in the playoffs.
Exactly. You have the camaraderie about all that stuff, too. And you know, I think it's great, you know, don't get me wrong, that, like, they had Dwight Freeney back this year and everything, but, like, Dwight Freeney was asked to come back because they're honoring him. I don't think Dwight Freeney was really going to come to the Dome this year.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, in Dino's time, it became, I wouldn't say restrictive, but very closed door. And I'm just happy to see, at least initially, Fran Brown wants it to be kind of an open door policy. Like, come, like, chill, hang out with the guys, like, be a resource to them as much as they can be a resource to you. And, you know, I recognize, like, to go back to it, like, I don't want 12-0. I don't want 13-0. It'd be nice. It'd be great. Don't get me wrong. But it's that relevancy. I just want, when a national conversation's had amongst teams of a certain tier, I don't want to be C and D tier anymore. I want Syracuse to be in that B tier. And then you work yourself up. Like, that's what some Fran Brown even talked about, too, is build yourself up. You get to the – just continuously chip away.
Would you take 16-0?
Yeah, I mean, 16-0 would be great.
That's a national title.
Yep, it would be. So,
well, hey, unless you're Florida State, then you play in the first round. So, is that 17-0?
Brutal. but, yeah, so, you know, it's just one of those things where I just want – I don't want to be the laughingstock. You know, when I was at college, like – Pitt fans would laugh at me. It's like, you're the same tier as us, but you aren't. Because Pitt was, at least at that point, 8-4 every year. You know? A lot of Ohio State and Michigan fans are where I was. You know, and they just laugh at the podunk that they perceive to be Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's all right. And they can laugh. I get it. But, you know, at least on the Michigan side, I think, like we said, like, you haven't done a lot lately anyway, so.
Nope, and that's the worst part about this whole thing is because I personally think Alabama's going to win that game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As much as I would love to see SEC fail, I don't know. I think Alabama's got a legit shot to win the national title. I'm going to be rooting for Washington, though. That's my team. Just throwing that out there. Rooting for Washington.
There's a lot going on right now. Good God.
Juan Soto a Yankee yet?
No, not officially, but there's a ton of recruiting stuff going on. I don't even know. Anyway, yeah, it's interesting kind of see the early I always look at it from the betting side. I think it's the easiest way to look at it now. But wait, a lot of the money going on in Alabama, and I get it. And that's why I'm not going to bet the game right now, because if I can catch Michigan as a dog.
They're favorite right now, though, right?
Oh, yeah, they still are. Yeah. But, I mean, come on.
If they do become an underdog.
Right. I mean, come on. So, anyway, let me transition over. I'm not used to having to have the notepad out for college here first, but. All right, Nick, I was 8-2 last week.
Do you know what two you got wrong?
The two that I got wrong.
Probably Georgia.
Oh, I took Alabama.
Okay.
Was Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
And UNLV. Had to think for a minute. I apologize. But
is James Madison in a bowl?
Yes. Because there weren't enough 6-win teams. Them and Jacksonville State both got into one.
Wow.
Yep. There's only one 5-win team this year, and that's Minnesota. So,
good season.
Yep. So, Nick, you mentioned, right, Paul, there's only one game this weekend. And I agree, there is only one game this weekend. But you have the FCS, and there are lines available. So I have back to the usual 5 picks this week.
You starting with the FCS?
Nope, I'm going to start with the FBS because it's Army-Navy. The best damn game of them all.
Over-under's tough. You doing that?
No.
You're not doing it.
I'm not doing that yet. Because here we just pick. I'm going to take Navy getting the 3 points. Now, it's tough. My one grandpa served in the Army, other in the Navy. To be fair, I have a lot more technically familial connections to Army. But I can never do it. Go Navy.
You know, it
doesn't matter.
My friend Josh. Navy. Who was on this podcast many years ago. He was in the Army, and when they finally broke the streak, mm-hmm. they lost somebody in a row in the Navy. He got that Monday off.
Really?
Army won for the first time in a while.
How about that?
I wonder if it's been a while since Navy won, hasn't it?
I don't know about that. I can't remember, though.
Not as long in drought as that, but no.
Yeah. So... Yeah, that game's in.
You think they're going
to
win, though?
Yep, game's in Foxborough this year. But you have to remember, I do it with the spreads and everything for college.
You got Navy straight up.
I'm doing Navy straight up anyway. But I'm doing Navy plus 3 for this. So, game's in Foxborough this year, by the way.
Wow.
Do their tour. All right, FCS, it's their quarterfinal weekend, like I said. Weekend Friday night, Furman at Montana. I'm laying 16.5 with the Grizz of Montana, Big Sky Country. Going with my boys, Montana.
Are they the number one seed?
No.
No.
South Dakota. No. We'll get to them, though.
They're always good.
We'll get to them in a minute. Villanova at South Dakota State University. I'm doing South Dakota State minus 19.5. Villanova's kind of the surprise team of the bunch so far. So
you're just hyping up Villanova.
I was. North Dakota State at South Dakota. It's interesting here. South Dakota, I believe they're the number one seed, and they're home dogs against North Dakota State.
Really?
Not on my book. Give me the home dog. South Dakota.
Plus what?
6.5. And then the final one, Albany is at Idaho.
Albany?
This line I had to go fishing for because it's a New York school. But Albany at Idaho, the line is 4.5. I'm taking Idaho minus 4.5. The Kibbe Dome.
Albany ever won a championship?
Good question. I have no idea. So those are my picks for college this week. So how about that? I was able to find lines. Very proud. Very proud.
Nice.
NFL, Nick. Transition over here for a little bit. Quarterbacks just keep getting hurt. It's very sad.
Yeah, the Russo Bowl wasn't great either.
What do you mean?
Washington, Miami.
Yeah, I know. What do you mean, though? What do you mean it wasn't good?
Washington got crushed.
Nick, we knew that was going to happen. Come on.
Yeah, they love beating terrible teams, under 500 teams. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you're talking about quarterbacks getting hurt?
Mm-hmm. We are.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, again, we have another one. Trevor Lawrence goes down. Now, it doesn't seem to be super serious. Sounds like he'll probably miss this week for sure, but
it looked a lot worse.
It definitely did. I mean, I guess a high ankle sprain compared to what we probably thought it was.
His leg turned around.
Yeah. Not only did it turn around, it also bent in a way that I'm like, I just don't know if I like, you know.
Is the
good?
Is the stick guy? Is he done for the season?
Oh,
at the Saints game?
You had to do that.
Is he out for the year?
Yeah. Nick, he dislocated his knee in addition to like breaking like his fibia. Like
bigger than big whatever.
We'll get to Big Dom in a second.
Dom, yeah, that's it.
We'll get to Big Dom.
But yeah, once again, it's not Tua who doesn't get hurt. So that's crazy. I mean, I think they said 52 quarterbacks have started a game this year. I think their record's 68 from last year, I think. Mm-hmm. But a lot more big names, it seems like, this year going down. But that's not good. 52 quarterbacks, and there's still a lot of game, a lot of season left. So, what's 13 weeks? We've seen 52 different starting quarterbacks. That is just absolutely insane. That's 20 times someone has subbed out a quarterback this year, so at the start of a game. And then we've seen guys like Derek Carr go down at times. We've seen Geno Smith go down at times. So people are just getting hurt and still playing, but nah, this is bad. Lawrence, luckily, it wasn't too bad. And like I said before, Tua, knock on wood, still not hurt.
We have a lot of confusing reports happening right now, Nick.
Minnesota Yankee?
There's so much going on. But, I don't know what it is this year. These guys, unfortunately, getting obviously banged up. And it's interesting because I've seen a lot of people kind of thrown under the bus in ways that they shouldn't be. Like, you have, like, grounds crew people getting you know, kind of thrown into this. I find it interesting that a form of tackling that has been around for years all of a sudden is hitting the spotlight with the hip tackle. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but if guys aren't able to do that, I don't know how we expect a lot of people to tackle anymore.
Yeah,
I think it's just unfortunate that some of the guys who have gotten hurt in this process this year have been more of the high profile guys. I don't know. I don't know if maybe 2023 is just like a hex year for some of these quarterbacks, I guess. Like, I don't know. What's tough, too, is like, especially if you're the Jaguars, you're finding a groove again in a way. And not a knock on CJ Beathard, right? But you kind of know what you can and can't do. Now, to be fair, I do like him as the backup for Jacksonville. It goes back to the conversation I know me and you had the beginning part of this year. You know, he fits the system that they do. Now, he's not Trevor Lawrence by any means, but he runs a similar system. You know, he similar skill set in the sense of can run, good enough arm, you work it out from there type deal. So, in terms of, you know, the overall deal with it, I'd say the Jaguars got very lucky, and they're not going to be struggling for too long, obviously.
Well, just got to make the playoffs.
Right, especially compared to, you know, some of these other teams, you know, that they're without guys. You know, the Browns have, knock on wood, Flacco looked pretty good for them. But, you know, before that, you had the cycle of P.J. Walker and DTR for a couple weeks going in and out between each other and everything. And I don't know.
They're no Jake imagine. Browning.
True.
Who actually looked
Jake
pretty
Browning,
good.
But that's okay.
Jake?
Yes.
He looked pretty good, though.
Mm-hmm.
The other night. I mean,
Pac-12 legend.
Washington guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that.
Third leading passer in Pac-12 history?
Pac-12?
I think.
Forever.
Something like that, yeah.
Forever.
Forever, ever.
Yeah. So, it's just, then we go back to the whole, I think we talked about this last week, was with Tom Brady, you know, saying that the football is bad right now. It's mediocre. And that's because we got a lot of backups playing this game right now. So, it's not a good look, but it's nothing we can change. The quarterbacks are going to get hurt. I mean, you can only make the game so safe. I mean, what are we going to make this flag football?
Yeah.
You're gonna lose a lot of audience that way, but I don't know how you can protect them any more than they are right now. So it's just a lot of freak injuries and a lot of big names going down, and it's hurting the teams and the sport.
Now flag football, Olympic sport, look forward to that in a few years. But anyway, Yeah, let's talk about the 49ers-Eagles. I don't think that exactly went the way either one of us predicted. I know you did take San Fran. I took Philly. But for the absolute, frankly, blowout that it was. I don't think we expected that. But we have to talk about the actual news from that game. And that is Greenlaw versus Dom. And that game was really chippy kind of from the jump. I know there's been stuff kind of dating back to, I guess, even before the playoffs last year, which I didn't even know. Do you know that there was stuff from before the playoffs last year between the two teams?
No.
Like beef of sort? I don't – look, far be it for me to be the guy who's, like, in the room being like, what the hell are you guys arguing about type thing? Like, they go into this game, like I said, chippy from the jump, and then you look over in the second quarter, and Greenlaw, who was – I mean, if he's not, like, the third-best defender on the 49ers, he's probably 3B then type deal. Gets into it with somebody on the sideline. I thought it was a player, given the fact that I don't know if the guy for the Eagles was necessarily out of bounds just yet when the tackle happened. It was, like, bang-bang, you know, right on the sideline type deal, right? Like, and next thing you know, you see who I thought initially might have been just some sort of positional coach, you know. Get into it, and you don't see, it's not like that's like never happened before, but like it's rare to see a coach and a player kind of get at it. So it's like, oh, look at this, it's an actual fight type thing. And next thing you know, the Fox camera pans over, it's like, oh, that's Big Dom, head of security. I'm like, who? Like, what? Like,
where'd they get that information?
Exactly. I'm like, what the hell? And then they just, like, break it down where it's like, yeah, Big Dom, head of security, friend of Sirianni. It's like they show, like, a video of him hopping off the bus with the team. I'm like, seriously, like, what the, like, that security guy has a hype reel in this? Like, but, yeah, like, it was so, like, off guard because, and then initially, too, they only announced Greenlaw had been ejected. And I'm sitting there going, like, I don't want to beat that guy, but, like he should be gone too. And then it's like, oh yeah, the guy's out too, the personnel member. I'm just like, this is gonna be quite the let alone discussion point. But if you're in the NFL, and I haven't seen anything yet this week about it, like, you in all fairness probably have to do something, right? Like, you can't be having a let alone a coach or I guess a non-player in that sort of scope do it, but like to have, like, just, like, the head of security kind of be the one involved in this just does not strike me
Maybe he thought it was a situation he was trying to solve it.
Well, sure, but, like, I guess I'll call it as, like, not league-friendly in essence, right? Like you can't be having that, I don't think.
He was trying to bring up the fight. He's the head of security.
That's true, I guess.
I don't know. It was weird, but, yeah, they were both ejected, right, though, you said?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but Big Dom, man.
Right.
He's like the only Eagles guy I like. So, yeah, get involved. I mean, there's a million people on that sideline to begin with. So, I mean, it just so happened to be him. He probably was talking a little trash. He's Big Dom, head of security.
Big Dom.
But he's probably talking trash, and Greenwald just like, hey, I'm going to hit you in the face. And he did. So, it's really the whole situation. I don't know what you saying the NFL should do something. What do they do? I think that should be an Eagles problem. The Eagles should.
No, I don't maybe necessarily disagree with that, right? But I think if you're the league, you have to kind of make a precedent and move on this. Like I said, I mean, we've had coaches before. It's not like it's not happened, but, you know, it's a rarity when it does happen. But there's stuff there when a coach interacts with a player like that. You have it. I mean, To be completely honest, a non-front office member involved wasn't even involved in this. It's, you know, a kind of an offshoot of it, of sort. You know, I agree, but also disagree. You know, I just see, and I hate that I'm kind of agreeing with Shanahan on this in a way, but like, something's got to be done. You know, you can't.
Sirianni did apologize.
To be fair, though, like when you think about, like, if you're head of security, I maybe counterpoint you a little bit. You have to be cognizant of, like, not interjecting yourself in that situation because it doesn't involve, I guess, the out-of-field scope of things. Like, stuff like this happens at least, like, once a game usually in that realm.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be that guy, I guess, in a sense. I think this is a little bit too of we put a lot of emphasis on a couple of these teams in a league, and it's not just the NFL, right? But this is where it gets glaring, is when issues like this pop up, you know, where we have a lot of cameras on the Eagles right now, and, you know, they kind of fall into this weird, for them it's weird anyway, because, like, this weird, like, darling of America, because it's, like, they're this perceived young and hip team type thing, and it's just like, oh, they just did that. Like, yeah, okay. Like, a lot of it, you know, kind of like, the only time I can really think about it in this true sense was just like when we hyped up Steph Curry and the Warriors about, like, oh, they're this really great team and they have a bunch of good guys. And then it's just like, oh, there goes Steph Curry being hashtag humble again by throwing a temper tantrum and whipping his mouth guard at a ref. And, you know, it's the smallest things where it's like, I get frustrations and everything, but, like, just you gotta know your role, know your lane. You know, don't interject when it doesn't need your interjecting.
By the end of the game, impressive win by the Niners.
Oh God, absolutely. You know,
they look like the best team in football.
Like I said, like, I don't think we expected that outcome to happen. You know,
it's been hard to figure out who the best team in football is, and I think it's the Niners right now. The Chiefs certainly are not it.
Ooh.
The Chiefs receivers are so bad. Even Patrick Mahomes can't make him good.
We were very loud wrong as a collective unit on that game this past week. That's for sure. The AFC is a hodgepodge of, I don't know, it's probably just going to be whoever's kind of hot at a given week. And I don't necessarily disagree with the 49ers thing, but, like, we'll find out this weekend about actually who's for real out of that Dallas-Philly tandem, you know.
I think it's Philly. But
I don't disagree, but it's kind of hard to.
Philly's secondary is
God,
terrible.
It's hard to ignore what Dak's kind of been doing this year. Really does pain me to say that, but it's
he
hard to ignore.
He should dominate that secondary,
you think.
Philadelphia, so. Right. It's going to come down to the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
When Hurts is out there against the Dallas defense.
It's not like – it really isn't like their, you know, secondary is great either. I mean, I don't care about Bland and breaking the record. It's the same thing as Diggs a couple years
ago.
It is. So boomer
exactly.
Boss, man.
Because he, like, guesses a lot of times.
Yeah, like – and I get it. There's an element of it where it's like, yeah, but it's like, damn, if you ain't getting burned.
I don't have
the
stats in front of me,
though.
But I'm sure he's given up a lot of yards, but has all these picks and touchdowns.
Right. Well, no, wasn't there the thing a few weeks – or no, this weekend somebody called him out on it. DK Metcalf did.
Yeah.
Or, like, I was burning him all game. Like,
last game was a perfect example. DK Metcalf lit him up, but he has the one pick. You know, it was a big moment in the game. So it looks like he had a good game, but he did not. DK Metcalf destroyed him that game. It was a great game.
We have off-season baseball news. The Yankees have signed Dennis Santana to a minor league deal.
That's what we wanted to hear.
Pretty sure he could add him to the list of Yankee Pirates.
What about
Pirates,
the Verdugo,
right?
though? That's kind of
yeah, that was interesting. But we'll get to that because we're in football mode at the moment. Well, potentially.
Picks?
Yeah, let's do picks right now. Let me get to the dual shot up here of us. And
you got it going.
Yeah, not bad. I actually made it work. All right, so, Nick, you actually
– Is this showdown? Are we in a showdown?
I guess.
Can I get my 30 seconds FaceTime?
Do-do-do-do-do. Please don't copyright strike us, ESPN, and around the horn. Okay, Nick, so you won the week last week at 9-4, two games over me, 7-6 in the week, which puts you one game above in the standings.
Back
up. 116.
How many more weeks ago?
And 78 now for you. I'm 115 and 79.
5 weeks?
Yeah, including this week, 5 weeks. So it's a lot to do
still. Week 18 is kind of.
So little time.
Week 18 can be tricky.
Yep. So, only two teams on a bye this week, Arizona and Washington, which means we have 15 games to
Washington,
choose from.
Finally on a bye.
You ain't kidding. So, we have New England and Pittsburgh, Thursday night football. Pitt -6, even though they'll be without Kenny Pickett. We have Mitch Trubisky technically getting the start, so it's Bailey Zappi and Mitch Trubisky.
In rainy Pittsburgh.
More than likely.
I'm going to go Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I guess we'll have doing pit here. I just... I don't know about
this. You just don't have anything to say why the Patriots should win.
Correct, I guess. But I also don't know if I have anything really about the, but somebody, about the Steelers winning.
Most likely somebody has to win.
Najee Harris, I guess. I don't know. anyway.
6-0, maybe.
Sure. Yeah, be right on the line. All right, Sunday, 1 p.m., Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Atlanta, 2.5-point favorites.
Can they get over 500?
Right.
I think they do. Give me Atlanta. I'm buying them.
I'm going to sell them. I just go back to the well. Don't know what to expect out of them. Just don't. Fun fact about Atlanta really quick. Desmond Ridder, all-time NFL passer from Cincinnati.
Really?
Already.
Already.
That's gross.
That's terrible.
Yes. The Rams are at the Ravens. The Ravens are laying 7. I'm going to be taking Baltimore.
I like the -7.
Sounds like Puka Nacua is out for the Rams.
Then I really like the -7. Yeah. Cooper Kupp is non-existent.
Right.
Give me the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm about to say, if anything, Gerald Everett. No, not even Gerald Everett. Who is that tight end there? Not Higbee.
Oh, Gerald Everett's on Chargers.
The other one there. Damn it.
Can't think of it.
Drawing a blank, but he's been like the preferred target of Stafford all of a sudden. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, he's blanking on me. Yeah. Anyway.
Detroit at Chicago. Chicago is getting 3 at home.
Detroit at Chicago. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Bears, Lions.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. I'm surprised it's 3. I'm guessing it's because of the outdoor element of things here, in a sense. But
I'm going to go.
I'm going Detroit here. Just
going to go Detroit. Yeah. Bears won enough this year.
Probably, yeah. All right, Indianapolis at Cincinnati. Cincinnati getting 1 at home. I'm interested in your thought on this one.
This is a tough one.
Yeah.
Jake Browning did look really good last week, but.
He did.
I'm going to go Indianapolis. Division's sneaky good, AFC South.
I guess. Know what? I can't follow you. I got to take Cincinnati here, I think. I just.
Why, Paul?
I'm surprised this is your why game given a couple games later on. But.
Really? Yeah. Well, it's already too late.
But. Yeah, the Colts did nothing to inspire me for them to kind of continue being great or good, at least, going forward. The fact they needed overtime to beat Tennessee, and especially with that Tennessee defense this year, just can't trust it. And, you know, I guess you can make the same case in a way with the Bengals, right? But they were in that game with Jacksonville the whole time, and that was with Trevor Lawrence out there for the most part. So
Lawrence didn't get hurt till the end.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna ride Cincy here.
All right.
I'm gonna ride Cincy. Jacksonville at Cleveland. Cleveland a 3-point favorite at home.
Going Cleveland. I'm not big on Beathard.
Yeah, likewise as well. Especially if Flacco even looks halfway as good as he did. I think. Like he did this past weekend. Might be one of those deals where the Browns can jump on a lead, just kind of sit on the ball in a way. So.
At home, I like the Browns.
Yeah. Carolina at New Orleans. New Orleans is a 5-point favorite.
They've been bad, but they ain't that bad, so I'm going to go New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm doing that as well, but I don't think it's a but. But did you see there was a report today that came out on Carolina and the culture right now of the team is Hunger Games-esque, and that's very concerning.
It's not good.
No. Last of the 1 o'clock, Houston at the Jets. Jets, 5.5-point dogs.
I'm going to go Houston, I guess.
I'm going to say with confidence I'm taking Houston. I don't think it's a question, Nick. All right, we enter the late window, 4:05, Minnesota at the Raiders. The Raiders getting 3 at home.
Hunter Long, is that his name?
Who's Hunter Long?
Rams tight end.
Oh, okay.
Davis Allen, Bryson Hopkins, maybe it's not the Rams. Yeah. I was trying to get your answer here.
I guess.
Who the Rams tight end? Tyler Higbee. Then it's Hunter Long, the second string.
Maybe it's that Hunter Long guy then. I don't know.
I don't know. I was trying to get to your answer.
I appreciate it.
Reality. What was the game?
So, it's Minnesota at the Raiders. The Raiders are 3-point dogs.
Josh Dobbs, baby. Give me the Vikings.
I really want to take the Raiders here. I have a gut feeling about them.
Why?
Well, I just don't know if I can on paper,
this is
though.
Basic why.
So I'm going to go Minnesota. Yeah.
Any Saturday games this week?
Nope. Thank God. I think that's, what, another week away maybe? Two weeks?
After the Army-Navy game.
Yeah. Last of the 4:05 portion of the late window, Seattle at San Fran. San Fran, 10.5-point favorites at home.
San Fran.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, 4:25 portion of the late window. Buffalo at Kansas City. Kansas City, 2.5-point favorites.
Tough 2 weeks here for Buffalo.
Is it? Because I'm taking Buffalo.
You know, I'm thinking about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to take Kansas City.
Ooh.
I just can't do it.
I can.
I could see Buffalo winning.
I can.
But I'm taking Kansas City.
At least Diggs and them can catch a ball.
It's true.
And run the right route.
It's true.
So.
I'm taking Kansas City, but I would not be surprised if Buffalo won that game.
Fair.
They need that game, though.
Mm-hmm. Stuff is going crazy over here. Denver at the Chargers, the last of the late window. The Chargers are 2.5-point favorites at home.
Denver lost a tough one last week. Chargers, Staley's losing it.
Yeah.
Like it. So give me Denver. I think they'll bounce.
Damn, I was hoping you'd zig there, too. I'm taking Denver as well.
Denver.
Sunday Night Football, Philly at Dallas. Dallas, 3.5-point favorites.
Philly. That's all.
I'm doing it. I'm taking Dallas. This game's going to be a shootout, I think.
I would use my Y here, definitely.
I think there's going to be a lot of points being scored in this game, though.
Yeah. 35-31, maybe.
Yeah, something
but
like
Philly.
Maybe more than that, even.
40-40.
Something like that.
50-50?
Yeah. 60-60?
Dare I say 100-100?
Wow. Hey, speaking of doubling up, Monday Night Football, two games this week.
Why?
At the same time as well.
And the Mannings are on.
Because of money.
Who are the Mannings going to watch?
I don't know.
Got to be the Giants game.
I don't know which game I'd prefer to watch with this, because the first of the Monday Night games, even though at the same time, Tennessee at Miami. Miami is a 13-point favorite.
Miami.
Yep.
How much? 13?
13. And then the other game, Green Bay at the Giants. Giants are getting 6.5 at home. I'm sorry to do this to you, Nick. I'm taking Green Bay.
What happened to the Super Bowl pick, man?
I don't know. I might as well get off the ship while I can. I have a child.
Tommy DeVito, man.
Tommy Cutlets.
Give me the Giants.
Taking the G-men. All right. So that concludes our main portion of it. Now, the plan going into this, we'll pull back the onion a little bit here as I get the web controller back, was we're just going to talk about football. I didn't think there was a ton to really talk about. You know, the NBA in-season tournament happened. And Nick, you have a little bit of beef with it, actually, at the moment. So I'm gonna let you get in your kitchen and cook.
It's not really any beef with the tournament. I love the in-season tournament.
It sounds like it's beef.
I love the in-season tournament. I think it's a great idea. I think we should have more teams in the knockout stages. I think it should be two teams per group.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be Western Conference and Eastern Conference mixed up. It should be like a full World Cup. And I think we should not have other regular season games in between. I think it should be just strictly a month of this tournament. That's strictly it. Have this month of the tournament. And then once, you know, the knockout stages, let these other teams play regular season games, which is where my beef comes from. So the teams that did not make the knockout stage, so the other 22 teams, have two games tonight, and they have a game on Friday. The losers of the quarterfinals games have a game on Friday, which is my New York Knicks, who lost to the Milwaukee Bucks because they couldn't have missed a damn three. But here's where I have the beef. These games tonight, tomorrow, and Friday are your extra two games. And then, of course, the quarterfinal games as well. Mm-hmm. Those are your extra two games. You had an 80-game schedule when the season started. These are your extra two games. For the 22 teams that did not make the knockout stages, they get a home and a road game here on Wednesday and Friday. The Lakers, the Bucks, and who's in the Pacers, all got a home game. Now they're going to a neutral location. All right. That will be their second game. Uh-huh. The Pelicans got a road game, and now they're going to get a neutral location. Meanwhile, you have the Celtics, who got a home game before. You have the Kings, who got a home game before. And then, of course, there's the two teams. There's the 2-4 seeds. Mm-hmm. I'm all mixed up right now. But anyway, the point is...
You sound like the in-season tournament.
Yeah, right now I'm all mixed up. The point is the Knicks are the only team in the NBA that is playing 42 road games this year. The Suns, who are also a 4 seed, get a home game on Friday. Why are they getting a home game when us, as a 4 seed, does not? The Kings are going at the Suns on Friday. So the Suns will have 41 home games, and the Suns will have 41 road games, who are the same exact seed as the Knicks, who have 40 home games and 42 road games. And I know this is the luck of the draw. This is the bad luck of the draw. Not to mention our 2 extra games are against the Bucks and the Celtics on the road. It is absolutely ridiculous that we get 42 road games. The Pelicans get 41 road games, but one is a neutral location. Mm-hmm. In Vegas tomorrow night, 5 o'clock start. They play later, but 5 o'clock start, I don't know how I feel about that. But anyway, the point is the Knicks are the only team in the NBA this season. We made the knockout stage. We earned that spot. And we're the only team in the NBA that gets 42 legit road games, and I am sick of it.
So I forgot about this beef I had with the in-season tournament, though. I did have one small beef. You bring up a good point with those, but also the whole entire, like, the stats count but don't count thing.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Now this game on Saturday is just an extra game, has no regular season implications at all.
Do you have a participation trophy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I hope LeBron wins it.
Yeah, he might. Anyway. I think that wraps up the show for this week. So appreciate everybody for listening.
Big weekend in Niagara Falls this weekend.
Yeah, wonderful Life Festival, the 5K. We had Jimmy Hawkins, who played, who was one of the actors in the movie. So that was pretty cool. Always awesome when he stops by. Yeah, it's
busiest weekend of the year.
I think it's year like 30, I think, or something, or
really?
Of the festival in some form. Yeah, like it's.
I mean, I'm so used to it, but it is a little weird that your biggest week in the year is in December. But I'm so used to it.
Yeah.
This is the biggest weekend in Second Falls.
Yeah. All right, Nick, who are you shouting out today?
My good friend Sam Shields.
Shout out, Sam.
It's his birthday today.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, wish him happy birthday out there.
I'm going to get to Sam Shields. No, yeah. I can't. I think I'm playing him in one of the fantasy leagues this week.
So you can't wish him happy birthday?
It's competition, Nick.
Happy birthday, Sam. Won the baseball league last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's a champion of some sorts. Football, I don't know if he's going to get it there this year, but shout out, Sam. Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to Sam. So, Nick, appreciate you. We'll see everybody again next Wednesday. Back at it again. Hopefully we have some awesome news to delve into with who knows what.
Shohei,
who knows. Winter meetings going on right now, so the stove is hot. Who knows?
Guardians win the lottery.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, so. We'll see everybody next Wednesday. Enjoy the week, everybody. We'll talk with everybody then.